Welcome to Yacht Femme, where we talk about the women that make the yachting industry. I'm your host, Andrea Tagliaferro. Learn who they are, how they got into yachting, and what they do today. Meet Jamie Dorman, project manager and director of the A Group's Amsterdam office. She focuses on developing their Netherlands business, growing their team, and managing yacht interior builds. Jamie studied office management, international business, and languages. She began her maritime career doing oil rig conversions and later switched to the yacht interior builds. She worked for 10 years at DKB, a FedShip interior outfitter. In September of 2019, she moved to the A Group, and in the beginning of 2020, Janie was promoted to head their Netherlands office. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me again on Yacht Femme. I'm Andrea Tagliaferro, your host, and I'm joined today with Jamie Dorman. She is in charge of the A Group in the Netherlands. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. I feel really thank you.
Could you, before we jump in, can you give us a little bit of background on who you are, where are you from, and maybe what are you doing in the yachting industry?
Yes, hello. Well, I'm Janie. I'm half Scottish, half Dutch. After I obtained my degree in office management, I attempted, and I say that word very loosely, attempted Dutch law and failed horribly at that. So then I switched to international business and languages. And I was lucky enough to be able to obtain a dual degree, which meant that I also got to live in London for a year to obtain my degree there. And after I lived in London for a year, I moved to Spain for 6 months to try and brush up on my Spanish, which is at this present day disastrous because I do nothing with it. So, and after that, to obtain my degree, I went to work at a shipyard specializing in oil rig conversions, because that's where I went eventually to write my dissertation. And after that, I ended up working at that shipyard for a couple of years. And after I completed two oil rig conversions there, I was then called whether I would be interested in moving into a job position in yachting, assisting a project manager for an interior company. And so then I moved there, and after 10 years, I left that company. And since the 1st of September 2019, I worked for the A Group. And since the beginning of this year, I was asked to set up the Dutch branch for the A Group in Holland. So that's what I did. Last year, I met the owner's representative of Lady S, who is the owner of the A Group in Monaco, and he had a business concept that he wished to open a company up in Northern Europe to focus more on the interior construction management side of yachting, because in Monaco they do all the designs. And we met during the build of Lady S, and he asked, would you be interested in coming to work for the A Group? And so the concept for this company was born. And at the moment, well, I'm actually sitting here in an office at Ocean Co, because we're building a yacht here. And so I'm dividing my time between Ocean Co, and also we have Lady S at FedShip at the moment for her warranty and service period. So then I cruise up and down the A4 to go up to Amsterdam to see her. And we have an office in Amsterdam, and we're not there very much now, especially also due to COVID and the fact that we always work on location. And so, yeah, I'm very lucky that we get to build our boats in Holland at the moment. So I get to stay in the country where I live.
That's great. So going back, you were saying that the owner of Lady S was the one that approached you. Is that correct?
The owner's representative.
So for all of you guys that don't know, Lady S is a beautiful fed ship that was launched, was it last year?
Last year.
Okay. So what size is Lady S? Just to give people a little bit of background, not only a yacht, it's actually a yacht that made a lot of press and a lot of commotion.
She's a 93-meter yacht with an exterior design from Michael Leach and an interior design by Raymond Langton. And she actually won the award last year for best exterior design and interior. So we're very proud of that, obviously. And during the build, it was a very difficult build. It had a lot of challenges, and therefore the owner approached Richard Hein, the owner's representative, to ask if he could come and assist with the build. And that's where I met him, because I was at that time the project manager for the interior company providing the interior, the luxury interior for Lady S.
Okay. So now that you guys have built this company, what service do you guys do? What is your part or your role in the construction process of the yachts?
Yes. Well, typically, we look at how to translate the design into something that's actually manufacturable to go on board. So we look at the construction side of an interior. A designer typically will be very concerned with all the detailing and the finishes and everything that they would like to have for the interior. But sometimes translating the fact for what the vision is into something that's actually doable, because you're obviously as an interior company, you actually have to make it all happen. That's not an easy task. So we like to help and give our input in where we see that that details as designed by a designer could be modified or simplified into something that's manufacturable. And we then manage on behalf of the owner. That's basically our role at the moment. At least we would love to also branch out into assisting shipyards in their construction process. But at the moment, we assist an owner in the reassurance that he's going to end up with the end product that he's seen on a piece of paper that he likes, the design. And so we just help assist that everyone stays on the same page so that he gets a product delivered as he is envisaged. Or she, might I add, because there are some female yacht owners out there.
So. This is true, and it's growing.
Yes.
How often would that happen that an owner would have been seeing these beautiful plans designed by the interior designers, and then when he actually gets the build done, they are a little bit too different from what he had envisioned or what he was presented to? Does that happen often?
To be honest, I'm not quite sure, because I've always been involved with builds where there is always an owner's representative, or at least someone who is overseeing everything from his point of view. Because typically during a build, there will either be an owner's representative or there will be a build captain who is there on behalf of the owner just to ensure the process, and mainly to take decisions on behalf of the owner. Because during a build process of a yacht, there's a lot of decisions that need to be taken. For instance, maybe materials not available, maybe something is too costly or too complicated to manufacture, and therefore you'd have to look for alternative materials or an alternative detailing. And then on behalf of the owner, that person will give his input and take the decision on whether or not you can move away from the design. And then, so it might end up looking slightly different, but basically it usually looks as he wants, mainly also because the yachting industry, I have to say, is the word no is not really known to many people.
Yes.
He won't ever sell no either, because they are in the business of giving the client the experience of building his dream. So they will typically never say no to any request. But I think maybe that's where the A Group's a little bit different than other companies, is that we do realize that sometimes no is the only appropriate answer. So we will then advise an owner that although maybe something is being presented or something is going a certain way that we don't feel is best in the best interest of the vessel, we will advise something else.
So you know, people with many, many years of experience, it's interesting to see how they forget to mention how things do connect or how things are finished.
Sure. I think that also now with lead times of builds getting shorter, and I think an architect will mainly in the beginning just focus on getting the renders out, getting something that on paper that is getting the approval of the owner across the line, because building a yacht takes a very, very long time. There's so much communication and processes involved of getting all the approvals, getting everyone on the same page. So I think that the main focus in the beginning is always doing that. So getting the renders done, getting the approval on that. The general material selection is another very timely process. And once that's all done, due to the sheer amount of work that needs to be done, yes, there are always things that someone think, oh, well, those details, we can do them at a later date, and then they do get forgotten. And then usually we're in a huge, huge scramble to get everything done on time, and then we'll like be sending reminders, oh, by the way, in 2 weeks' time, you have to deliver this and this information, because during a build of a yacht, Now, contractually, there will also always be a decision and approval schedule within the contract, and it then gives a timeline in which documents the architect has to submit on which dates. So that's for all parties involved. So then we always do a check of the list to ensure that all the documents required for making the interior are actually stated on paper. And if not, we can make an amendment. And so that's also a role for what we do in our office here, is that we also try and liaise between all the parties and get everyone on the same page and ensure that everyone has the correct information to move forward.
How you said there, it's a very long process from selling, the client shopping around to see what shipyard they're using, to the design plans, and then so on, all the way to the process of making the yacht. Where do you guys step in? Because I do understand the design process can take a couple of years. I don't know, do you come in right after design is in some way fully completed, or are you already participating when designers are actually putting their ideas on paper?
That differs. It depends on the kind of contract. It depends on whether or not the A Group itself has a design contract, because in Monaco we have a design studio. That's where the A Group originates from. And it could be that an owner then approaches the A Group to also make the design for the actual vessel. And then obviously we're then involved from day one. But we also get approached for contract management of the build, so the owner's repping side of yachting. And what then happened, typically we're now on a build in which the owner had chosen a designer. And then for the construction side of everything, they said for the build, might we perhaps advise to get the A Group involved, and then they can help us with the build of the vessel. Because to oversee everything from an architect's point of view is a lot. So then if you have just that extra person who from a construction point of view can also give input, we are then involved in when the design is being made and presented to an owner. We will, for instance, look at the design, and for certain things we will say, as much as the design is lovely, please do not present this to an owner, because it is going to make everyone's life a living hell. So let's not do that. Could you perhaps come up with an alternative? Because the problem is, as lovely as some of the things are, as once it's been presented to an owner, he or she is going to want that, because they've seen it on a picture. So they think, oh, I'm going to have this now. And then to have to go back to an owner and say, I'm sorry, but we've actually investigated it and it's not going to be possible. That's something in yachting no one likes to do. No one likes to say to an owner, sorry, you can't have that. So we try to do that at the front end of the project. So then we will work together with an architect before it gets presented to an owner.
I've heard a couple of stories from owners wanting in the Grand Salon a huge tanks, water tanks, and then it's like it's an engineering nightmare when the yacht is actually moving, then the water moves from one to another one. We have there's a lot of information and a lot of equations and data going into like what part of the hull is sustaining how much weight, so everything works properly. But as you said, after I see this, I have no idea that this would be an issue, and I'm in love with a beautiful fish tank in the middle of my salon.
Exactly that, as you said. Let's just keep it there.
Okay. Well, it seems like you guys have been involved and even though the company is really young, seems like you have a lot of projects under your wing. Can you pinpoint in the career you've had, not only with the A Group, but before that, what has been like an amazing accomplishment or something that you're really happy that you were part of?
Yes. Well, before I worked for the A Group, I worked for a company called DKB, which is part of the FedShip Group. And I worked there for 10 years. And I was lucky enough to be involved with some of the most iconic yachts that are out there, like Savannah being one of the famous ones, Venus being another famous project, which I love being involved with. And for the last 2 years of my career at DKB, I was a project manager in my own right for the interior, and I got assigned the interior for Lady S, which was, for the company at that time, the biggest interior scope they'd ever been assigned for a Royal Van Lent yacht. So this was, for me, a huge moment. And it was, I have to say, one of the most challenging builds we have ever done, because the design is Well, she was described in a magazine as being a jewelry box. She really is. It is stunning. But with all these beautiful materials, as we discussed, the design is very intricate. It's complicated. So it was a tough build. And for me, that was my highlight because it was the biggest project that I'd ever done on my own. Because you don't have, I used to be an assistant to a project manager before. So you don't have someone else kind of, if it all goes wrong, to say, oh, but you're actually responsible for this. So I didn't have that anymore. And I felt the responsibility very much. But luckily I decided that perhaps to do it differently than was the norm, because I don't necessarily believe that more is better. So I decided to do the build with a very small team. And I was assigned, sincerely to this day, the best team of carpenters I have ever worked with. And their trust in me and their faith in me and the madness in how I run a project, they supported me in that. And then for me, that was the biggest achievement, the day that we were able to hand the boat over to the owner, and to see the joy that he has from his yacht is, for me, the biggest achievement that I've ever done work-wise.
Well, that's a huge achievement, for sure. You were lead in one of the biggest projects that the shipyard had seen. So pretty amazing. You keep saying that the build was complicated. Can you explain, you slightly mentioned materials and intricacy of them matching up together, I guess. What would be like an easy build versus a complicated one for those that are not in the construction side of the yachts?
So a simple and easy build will be a build that stays on schedule, which is which is not an easy thing within yachting, because to build a yacht, you always have lots of facets. It's not just interior, but the interior department, typically you are kind of like the last wagon on the train. So you are dependent on everyone before you doing their work on time, doing their work well, and have their work also be complete by the time that you turn up to do the interior. Unfortunately, in the real world, this is never going to happen. I've only been involved once in a build in my life in which all the stars aligned, and we were even ready 2 months before the launch party, which is, well, as I said, never been heard of since. So mainly it has to do, a good build would be when all the organization is in place, and also above all, really good communication. Because typically the boats are getting bigger. So that also means that you have more than one interior contractor on board. So generally for all the details on board, all parties will have to have the same general details. All the parties will be using the same materials. So you have to align that if, say, for instance, these days, suppliers of special materials will be contacted by all these parties to supply all these materials. But if you are a very small workshop and you're getting calls from three different interior contractors to supply that special material that you specialize in, you're going to have a bottleneck, because it's going to be a problem, because you can only manufacture so much at a certain time. And if each of those parties do not stay on their intended schedule, you get a problem with manufacturing the special finishes, as we call them in the industry, to get them to the contractors. And then that supplier of the special finish is going to be your bottleneck. And when you have so many special finishes on a yacht, and you have multiple parties needing something from that supplier, and everyone's schedule is going haywire, then you have a problem. And that makes for a complicated build. And also, as I said, getting all the parties before the discipline that needs to start, having them complete their work on time, it's difficult. And a good build is also, which we also have to admit, is also has a role. The owner has a role to play in that as well. Because if an owner starts changing his or her mind during the build, that just sets you up for a complete nightmare. Because again, as I said, shipyards are really nice to their clients, so they don't really want to say no. And although maybe they ask for additional money to pay for the change, a change also has a time impact, and a lot of people are scared to say, no, sir or madam, we're not going to do that, or you're going to have to delay your vessel. So they indulge the request, and that causes a mess.
Of course, and people only see it from, well, if I can pay more, that's fine. But actually, we are starting a vessel right after you, and we already have a contract with the other person, so we need this slot as well. You were also touching on size, yacht sizes, and how those have changed. So maybe that can go into the next question, that is, what changes have you seen since you've been in the industry?
Well, for sure, the sizes of yachts. Yachts have gotten bigger. Everyone, where now to have a yacht that is 80, 90 or 100 meters is not uncommon. So the demand for larger vessels has increased. Shipyards have had to increase in their size as well. So they've got more real estate to house all their people, like all the big Dutch shipyards. They've all got new sheds, as we call them, to house this demand. And that also then brings the shipyard in capacity is also growing. So I think that's probably the biggest change that I've seen there, where maybe 10 years ago when I entered this business, there was a lot of yacht building going on, but not to the extremes as what's happening now. And also because building a bigger yacht, it requires so many more resources to be able to do so. I think that's mainly the biggest thing that I've seen.
So in the 11 years, I'm sure you've come across a lot of good and bad experiences. So if we could go back to that first day in the industry, if you could have someone give you some advice, what advice would you give yourself?
I think the biggest advice would be you don't have to be good at everything. That is, for me, the biggest thing that I've learned in all the years that I've now been doing this. When I started out, I'm a very short person, also being a female, in a very male-orientated environment. People have a certain perception of you, and they've labeled you even before you open your mouth or start. So I was in the beginning, I was very, very insecure, and I felt that I had to go above and beyond to prove to everyone that I was worthy of the job that I was given and that I was worthy to be there. And so I had to prove myself and that I was just as good as everyone else who was there. And so I had to be good at everything. And then I just thought, you know, you don't have to be good at everything. And that's, for me, really when I truly started to understand what it was to be part of a team. Because for me, that's the beauty of teamwork, is that everyone has a speciality. And therefore, you don't have to be good at everything, because you can let someone else within your group shine at what they do best. And I could do what I do best. And I think that, for me, would be the biggest lesson I would tell myself now, the younger self. And then the other day, I also saw in the podcast that you did with Lindsay from Cotton Cruise that she mentioned to find yourself a mentor. Brilliant advice. I would definitely second that advice. At DKB, I had a project manager who was very supportive of everything I did. And he was a lovely partner to have to just bounce ideas off and to say, you know, I'm thinking of doing something like this, and that he could guide you and say, oh, well, I always do it this way. He would be far more, he would tell me, well, I always do it this way, so that would be my advice. And now, working at the A Group, I have Richard Hine be my mentor, and he's far more a mentor in the sense that he try and reflects it towards you. So he's not going to say, well, if I was you, I would do it this way. He will trigger you to search yourself and then get your own answers. So he's put me in a totally different thought process. And so I would definitely advise, find someone who can help you reach your best potential.
Well, before we head out, I want to check up, is there anything you want to share with us? Any project, anything that we should be waiting for or tuning in for you and the company?
Well, I would definitely say it's not happening anytime soon, but in the years to come, I would definitely keep your eyes out for any launches here at Ocean Co, because there's something very special coming soonish. And other than that, we look forward. We're now in lots of contract negotiations for some other projects. So fingers crossed that they go through. And otherwise, just look out for the A Group that's now also in Holland. So I hope that people will get to know us, and I hope to be able to grow the business, and also mainly also to grow our team. So yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Well, great. We will keep an eye on all the projects, because I know you guys sign confidentiality agreement, so we really don't know what you're working on. We just know that you're at Oshanko right now.
Yes.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing with us what you do, what you've been up to, and your amazing experience. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your time and for asking me. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The Odd Fum. If you like what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. Your comment will help us reach a broader audience. And don't miss the next episode. Bye!